ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text Number 5. Pratyujjagmu prahasena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidhivat. Parishwankha pivadanaihi pratyujjagmu prahasena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidhitva parishwanga pivadanaihi pratyujjagmu prahasena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidhitva abhisangamya vidhivat parishwanga pivadanai pratyujjagmu prahasena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidhivat parishwanga bhivadanai prati towards ujjagmuho went prahashena with great delight pranam life tanvaha of the body iva like agatam returned abhisangamya approaching vidhivat in due form parishwanga embracing abhivandanaihi by obeisances with great delight they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remains inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active, and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणादलिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashanthanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So here the scene is, with great delight they all approached him. So who are they? They are all the members of the Kaurava family, and currently these Kauravas are none other than Pandavas. Now it is compared to as if life had returned to their bodies. So here the purport starts with, in the absence of consciousness the limbs of the body remains inactive. So it's a big question in the current society, often not discussed so much. That is, what is actually life? The intriguing nature of life. So at least some people who are interested in this, they do discuss. And there is a whole field of study on life, even though hardly they touch upon life. But still, there is the whole field of study on life. And in this world, currently, we can see wealth is the most driving principle. It is the economy is the driving principle for everything. And as a subsequent result, the money is being poured onto the development of technology, which is for everyone's conveniences. So even though there is a question, even among scientists, what is life, what is the source, how it develops, there has been a lot of study being done. There is no conclusive answer as such, even though they pretend that there are answers to these questions. Ultimately, everything is covered by the so-called development of technology, because that is kind of a blind. Because that can blind people, that can blind the masses by the conveniences that is being provided. So recently, I received an email from the university, because they keep sending emails, what's happening, what are the new developments in the field of science and technology. So I was reading. So there was one research going on for a few years. It's in the side of technology as such, also to deal with the life. It was called a research on bionic eyes. Some of you may be aware of bionic ears. Those who have problem with the hearing, problem with ears. There are such kind of technology where they can actually replace with this kind of bionic ears. Similarly, there was technology going on for a few years developing on eyes. That is, someone who has got serious damage to their eyes, which is irrecoverable, then there is a kind of device that could be used to give back some kind of vision, at least to some degree. So the idea is, some people, they have no vision at all. They can't see anything. They can't find out whether there is light or it is darkness. Such kind of blindness, which is, you know, completely blind. Even for such people, there could be some aid with this technology. So, you know, there was quite a bit of research going on this. The idea is, instead of the eyes, a camera is used, and there is certain kind of chip that is being implanted within the skull, and that can generate the impulses or the signals which would actually go to the brain. So it is mimicking the original signal that's being transmitted to the brain with the artificial signals that is being generated. And so there's a sensor which can coordinate the whole activity. So this was going on, and recently last month I got a mail, you know, saying that the first implantation of pre-bionic eyes was successfully done. So the lady who had no vision practically, she was mentioning, I can at least now detect whether there is light or not. It's not that she can't see the whole thing, but at least she's sensitive to light now. At least she can see whether there is some light or not. So, when we see these kind of things, what happens is, the common mass become completely covered. They think that, okay, the science can give answers to all questions. So when they come up with an idea about creation of the life, the origin of the life, so they think, okay, whatever they say, that is right. Because the conveniences are provided for us. So the same technology should be able to answer the bigger questions. However, it is covering people. And Srila Prabhupada often he cut through this kind of mistaken ideas. And as devotees, we should also understand where everything originates, what is the source, and how the masses are getting covered by technology. Now, Srila Prabhupada suggested that we have to use whatever come even in the form of technology in service of Krishna. So, our definition is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So, we say utility is the principle. That is, if we get anything which could be used in service of Krishna, of course we can use in service of Krishna. However, there is a catch to the statement. When we speak about Yukta Vairagya, we talk a lot about utilizing things in service of Krishna. But Srila Rupa Goswami, when he defines Yukta Vairagya, he adds certain conditions to that. And that is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagya Uchyate. That is Nirbandha. What is the meaning of Nirbandha? Anyone knows what is Nirbandha? No bondage, yeah. In this context, what does that mean? No attachment. So, when we try to utilize the so-called technology or so-called gadgets or anything in service of Krishna, we have a strong tendency to be attached to those things. Say, we can say, okay, I need iPhone. The latest one is iPhone 5. Okay, I need iPhone 5. Okay, it is used for solely for preaching purpose, solely for service of Krishna, but I need iPhone 5. Or latest iPad, iPad 3. So we can get into the mentality that, okay, we are using in service of Krishna, so I can get attached to those kind of things. So this again is an attachment, and that is not within the purview of Yukta Vairagya. So there are instances where Srila Prabhupada said, okay, certain kind of things, okay, even though it could be useful, but we don't use it in our society. So there was the introduction of telex machine, and then Srila Prabhupada was informed that, okay, this telex machine is available now in the market. We could install in all the temples, and there will be, you know, seamless communication between the temples. Then Srila Prabhupada said, no. He said, if we do install that machine in our temples, then the end result would be Prajalpa. There will be a lot of nonsense talking. Okay, what happened here? What's happening there? You know, there could be a lot of nonsense talking. So this is one problem even with the age of internet. You know, it's a web of Maya. So people can waste a lot of time. Facebook, we think it is for preaching. Okay, we may do some preaching. But at the end of the day, there could be hours spent together. So I have spoken to devotees who was mentioning to me, we don't have time chanting in the morning. So then when we speak further, they said they have hours together to spend on Facebook in the morning. But there is no time for chanting 16 rounds. So this is how we get caught up in different kinds of technologies. Even though it could be used in service of Krishna, since we are not really fixed, we get attached and we are carried away. Now, talking about the life, because here at least it's not a long purport, so we have to take all the points from the purport to explain further. So talking about life, in this world there is a whole department called life science. So I was thinking about this life science department. So whenever I go to uni, I see this life science. So it came to my mind that This is the department which actually do not study at all about life, because they don't have any access to life. Of course, they are studying about the symptoms of the life, but they cannot actually study about life, because there is no access to life. So whatever we see as study of life science now, whether it has to do with the neuroscience or, you know, anything with the life science, all these things are just dealing with the symptoms of life. So when you talk about consciousness, the spiritual consciousness, they don't have any access to the consciousness or its origin. The only thing is how this consciousness is being reflected on different parts of the body. And details of that. That is the whole process of life science. So this is actually a dichotomy that in the material science, they have so much of energy and so much of interest to understand life, but there is no access to that. Because the means by which we can understand life is completely different. If we need real access to life, then we have to take a different process altogether. The current materialistic process will not help understanding life. So this is the sad story of, you know, the current science and technology development. They don't have any access. Now, speaking further about life, here is mentioned about the absence of consciousness and presence of consciousness. So one thing is, we often say consciousness can be spiritual or material, right? We say material consciousness and we do say spiritual consciousness. So the original consciousness which originates from the soul is completely spiritual by nature. However, when it passes through the agency of false ego and when it permeates throughout the body, then it is not spiritual. So that consciousness, it is transformation of the body, or transformation of the kshetra, the field of activity. It's called kshetra vikar, which is material by nature. So that's the reason we say, okay, we have, one day we have spiritual consciousness, other day my consciousness is very bad. So if the consciousness is completely spiritual, then what's the question of consciousness being material? Or, okay, today my consciousness is not good. No, it cannot happen. So whatever we are experiencing, the consciousness, that is transformation of the field of activity. So that is material by nature. So the process of devotional service is spiritualizing our consciousness by using in service of Krishna, focusing on Krishna. Now about life and how dear is life for ourselves. There is a very wonderful pastime and there is a wonderful conversation in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. So this is just after this conversation between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, is just right after Brahma Vimohana Leela. So I'll briefly give a synopsis of Brahma Vimohana Leela. So as you know, Lord Brahma saw Krishna along with his associates having a good time in the forest of Vrindavan. As it is mentioned, Krishna, he was in the center of all cowherd boys. And all cowherd boys and Krishna, they were having some prasadam. So it's interesting that Krishna was eating with his left hand. And that was some curd rice and some fruits. So that's all Krishna was eating. And seeing this, the Lord of this material universe, Brahma, he's the Lord and Master. And he started thinking, is he my Lord? So it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yajnabhuk Balakeli. Krishna is actually Yajnabhuk. He's the Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram. He's the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. So he is known as Yajnabhuk. So Brahma's relation to the Supreme Lord is primarily as Yajnabhuk. As the Supreme Lord who is with all opulence and who is enjoying all the sacrifices which are being offered to him by different demigods, different great sages, devotees, etc. So from that position, when Lord Brahma saw Krishna just like a cowherd boy, and he was accepting food, not even with proper etiquette, with his left hand, Brahma got bewildered. He started thinking, is he my Lord? And then he wanted to test Krishna. And for that sake, he came down and he started stealing all the cows, cowherd boys. Everyone was stolen away from Krishna when Krishna just went other side of the forest. Then later, Brahma understood his mistake and he came down and he was about to pay obeisances to Krishna. Then he had this wonderful vision of Krishna as a source of all different Vishnumurtis, different 400 forms of Vishnus. Generally, there is a misconception that Krishna is coming from Vishnu. Some people think, okay, Krishna is coming from Vishnu. In many parts of India, that kind of a misunderstanding is there. Because they think Vishnu is with all opulences. He has four hands. He has big helmet. He has, you know, weapons. And he is being worshipped by goddess of fortune. And so, he must be the Supreme Lord. And they think Krishna is just an incarnation. However, in this pastime, Lord Brahma, he saw that, okay, all these cows, cowherd boys, they are coming from Krishna's body and they are all four-handed Vishnu forms, Vishnu murtis. So then he understood Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. So this is a strong pastime we actually present if someone has any confusion regarding who is first, either Krishna or Vishnu. Actually, everyone is there all the time. Everyone is eternal. But at the same time, when we talk about the origin, we say, yes, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Swayam Bhagavan. So that's the reason it's mentioned. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So many times I had one person who used to come. He has visited me yearly. He would come yearly and ask one question. And the question is, why Vishnu is not supreme? Why Krishna is supreme? So first time I explained, then he would go back. And after that I will never see him for 1 year. Next year he came back again. Then he again asked the same question. So I replied, and then I suggested, if you have to really understand, just because first of all he doesn't really want to accept, because already a preconceived idea is strongly in his head and he doesn't want to change. He, for the sake of asking, he asks, and after that just goes back, and he is completely immersed in all the materialistic activities and not engaged in devotional service, not even eating prasadam. So if you want to actually digest philosophy, that too, this is a very intricate philosophy. We have to be engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, we have also no access to the finer aspects of philosophy. Philosophy just remains as theory. So one could ask whether Srimad Bhagavatam is theory or practical. The answer is, Srimad Bhagavatam can be theory or practical. It just depends on our approach. For a person who doesn't accept, he simply listens and doesn't take it seriously, and if he doesn't put into action, then Srimad Bhagavatam only remains theory for him. When we use that theory and when we put it into practice, then theory becomes reality. The book Bhagavatam starts revealing to ourselves. That is the nature of transcendental knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam verses, and the purport, if we actually try to remember, when it goes through our mind, they are like personalities. They actually reveal to us, okay, this is what it is. They reveal. Simply by contemplation, these personalities or these shlokas are actually personalities. They reveal. We really understand what it means. And then we can apply in our life. So it is mentioned, if you can't remember anything what we read, then what is the question of applying in our day-to-day life? So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us such wonderful opportunity to associate with Krishna. Just like if you browse in the internet, we could see, you know, there is, if you click somewhere, you know, there is a whole small snippet, a small video where we can see, okay, something happened, okay, click, you can see the whole video. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam verses are like videos. They are active by nature. They are not passive. Each word, if you read the verses, they are active. And it's just a matter of time, and it's just a matter of devotional service in which we are engaged. These verses becomes actually real. It can manifest in our heart. It can give us pleasure. Just the same verses, again and again. So, we have to really get a personal feel about Srimad Bhagavatam verses. Because studying these verses, applying in our life, meditating upon this verse, these verses become active principles. Now, going further, in the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela, okay, Lord Brahma understood the true nature of Krishna and he understood his mistake. He went before him and he started praying prayers to, he started offering prayers to Lord Krishna. So the 14th chapter of 10th canto starts with Navami Dev Abhra Vishay Tadidampara. He started paying wonderful prayers unto Lord Krishna, and at the end of the prayer, okay, that conversation is finished. Then Maharaj Parikshit is so intelligent, he inquired from Shukadev Goswami, very important question. So he asked Shukadev Goswami, how could the mothers of Vrindavan develop more attachment to Krishna in the form of their children than their own children? Because when this pastime was going on, the elderly gopis, they had their children, and their children were not actually their children. But who were they? They were manifestation of Krishna. Krishna expanded in the form of children. And they became young gopas in Vrindavan. And the elderly gopis, the mothers, they got so much of affection for these gopas than ever before. So because actually they were Krishna himself. So they had more attraction for Krishna in the form of their children than their own children. So Maharaj Parikshit, he is making a very important point for the benefit of us. So he is asking this question, how could they develop so much of attraction for these gopas than their own children? So here, Shukadev Goswami answers this question in a very interesting and in a very philosophical way. So here, in this discussion, first point is, generally, it is a puzzle even for psychologists that how people who are doing charity, those who are trying to do the so-called selfless service, derive so much of satisfaction than one who is working only for oneself. So how a selfless person on a material ground has so much of satisfaction than a selfish, a self-centered person? Because according to the materialistic science, the whole world is about self-preservation. We can see Darwinism. It is about survival of the fittest. It is about natural selection. So the real idea is, if everything is about self-preservation, everything is self-centered, then how is it possible, or what is the psychology behind one develops so much of satisfaction by selfless activity on a material ground? So it is, according to them, it is one sense, it is against the laws of nature. And to elaborate this point, I was hearing from my Guru Maharaj, there is a club in America, it is called 50% Club. So they are happy to donate 50% of their income for charity. So to be a member of this club, one has to give 50% of their income on charity. It's all on material plane. Still, they are very much charitable. Okay, we have to see in which mode they are doing charity, that's a different question. But at least they are able to give up their 50% of their income for charity. Now we can have difficulty devotees donating 50% of their income for Krishna conscious purposes. It is hard. Even though Rupa Goswami, you know, Srila Prabhupada instructs, okay, 50% of the income is for charity, for Krishna conscious activity. But here there are materialistic people who are doing this. Of course, it's a different category. They are rich, very rich people. But still they are able to do that. 50% gone straight on charity. And they are giving their testimonies that we are very happy. We are happier than before, where we used to actually accumulate this wealth. When we are giving away this income, we are feeling much more happier. So this is their position. And we can also see people are ready to sacrifice their own life to save someone else. Also, there are people who are ready to fight for their country or society for their protection. So in one sense, it is a bit puzzling. How could they do that? So here, to understand this further about one's own life, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, he answers in this way, Sarvesham api bhutanam nrupa sa svaatmeva vallabha itare patye vittadais tat vallabha tayetava. So he answers, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O king, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his own self. Okay? The dearness of everything else, children, wealth and so on, is due only to the dearness of the self. So the point is, even though one could be engaged in the so much of charitable activities, still one has to be very clear that those activities are based on dearness of one's own self. That is, one is more attached, or vallabha. Vallabha means the dearmost. So it's mentioned atmaeva vallabha. For a conditioned soul, atma eva vallabha. That is, the most dear thing is our own self. And because of false ego, they don't know what is the real self, so the most dear thing becomes one's own body and mind. And only because of that dearness, one is attached to the extended self. So it is mentioned that even though one is engaged in the so-called charitable activities, it is only extension of one's own self. So it is only extension of one's own false ego. So still, the dearmost thing is one's own self. The so-called charitable activities on the material ground are just for the satisfaction of one's own self. So it is still based on ego. So even when we do the analysis of the charity in different material modes, it is only just a matter of what kind of ego they are entrapped with. Whether it is in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. Still, false ego is present. Even in the goodness, it cannot be completely selfless. It cannot be completely devoid of false ego. Because devoid of false ego completely means one understands one's real identity and one understands about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, thus to gratify his proud sense of false ego, a man is prepared even to lay down his life. This apparently contradictory behavior is yet another demonstration of the bewilderment of material life, which has neither meaning nor reason, being a manifestation of gross ignorance of the non-material soul. So even the so-called activities are simply based on the self. So this principle applies to three modes of material nature. Even though it is said the charity in the mode of goodness is selfless, still there is an amount of false ego. It is not completely selfless. It is not possible. Now, Shukadeva Goswami goes to the next level and he explains, if a person comes to the stage of considering the body mine instead of me, he will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. So here we are moving from one more step ahead. That is, okay, first we can consider the extended self, that is because of one's own self, which we usually identify as body or the mind. Then the next level is the difference between mine and me. So it is higher to consider body is mine rather than saying body as me, because it's obvious. At that point, one is understanding the self as different from the body. And then Shukadeva Goswami continues, he will not certainly consider the body as dear as his own self. So he gives an example to prove that. He says, even when one grows old, the body falls apart, body deteriorates, still the desire to live doesn't go away. So desire to live is present still. So that shows that, okay, one is not just the body, even the body cannot enjoy, but that desire is separate from the body, and that is part of the real self. And that shows, one can personally realize, okay, I am not just this body, but I am something different, at least something different from this. So when we get the higher knowledge, then this point becomes more clearer. Now, Shukadeva Goswami actually goes next step. That is, okay, extended self is gone, the self as the body is gone, and he talks about the self as the spirit soul. Then he actually explains what is the higher than the self, or more dear than one's own self. So he gets into that. He says, Krishnam enam avehitam Atmanam Akhilatmanam. So now Shukadeva Goswami is speaking about the soul of the soul. So, Atmanam, Akhilatmanam. What is the soul of the soul? The body is dear. So, in other words, the extended bodies are dear. Why? Because one is attached to the body, one's own body, or one identifies oneself with the body. Otherwise, there is no meaning to our relatives. There is no meaning to friends. Because if we don't exist, then there is no meaning to relation. So, the extended beings are dear to us because of our identification with the body. And the body is dear to us because the soul is residing within our body. Otherwise, there is no point in the body itself. And now, Shukadeva Goswami explains, okay, even the self is dear to us because we have our original self. Krishna is present. So, we are part and parcel of Krishna. So, the dearmost object of love is Krishna. And we have no existence in separation from Krishna. We are always connected to Krishna, even though we forget our identity, still Krishna is the maintainer. Whether we accept or not, Krishna is the maintainer. As one time, some press reporters questioned Srila Prabhupada, actually how many devotees are there in this world? In your movement, how many devotees are there? Srila Prabhupada answered in a very interesting way. He said, all are our devotees. Whomever you see, they are all actually our devotees. But some people accept and some people do not accept. So that's the only difference. So all are devotees of Krishna, and there is no existence actually without connection to Krishna. Because Krishna is the maintainer. Even in forgetfulness, one has to be supported by Krishna. Krishna is doing everything. He is providing everything. Because how the material modes work if it is not being energized by Krishna. So devotee means we are turning back to Krishna. And we are recognizing that connection. That's all. So ultimately, so Shukadeva Goswami answered this point, that is, all these mothers in Vrindavan, they had more affection for Krishna because they are part and parcel of Krishna. And so, when Krishna came in the form of their sons, they developed even more attachment than their own sons. So this actually elaborates what is the self and what is the most dear most self. That is our connection to Krishna, whom we are actually part and parcel. Now the second point given in this is, so here the point is interesting, that when the Pandavas, when they saw Vidura, they became so happy, as if life has come back to their body. Likewise, the consciousness has entered the dead body. So why this example is given? Here we have to see the platform of Pandavas. Here is Kuru dynasty is mentioned. Pandavas are pure devotees. And when other pure devotees come in touch with them, when they get the association of other pure devotees, they become completely happy because there is a possibility of Krishna Katha. So one actually nourishes and enjoys Krishna Katha only in association of the devotees. As it is mentioned, there could be some problem among the devotees. There could be some misunderstanding among the devotees. Still, if we have to talk something about Krishna, we need devotees. Without devotees, you cannot speak about Krishna. A materialistic person may be very good to you. They may act in a so caring way. Still, you cannot have Krishna Katha with such a person. So even if there are problems among devotees, still devotees are the most valuable because we can have only Krishna Katha with devotees. So at this point we had to understand. There was a question asked to one senior devotee that if there is a serious problem among two devotees, then what can you do? We don't want to actually discuss anything personal. We don't want to discuss anything at all. So he said, if there is such a problem where you don't want to even see each other, make it a point, at least talk something about Krishna. At least talk about Krishna. Glorify Krishna. So the consciousness will gradually improve. So this is one solution if we have such kind of an issue. Then, as Bhagavad Gita says, Machitta Madgada Prana Bodhyanda Parasparam Kathyanta Samanityam Tushyanti Charamanticha. So Pandavas were getting this opportunity for Krishna Katha when Vidura was arriving to their kingdom. That too after a long, long time. And Vidura, who is Vidura? Vidura is Mahatma Vidura. We know the pastime of how much intimate connection Vidura had with Krishna. And Krishna was happy to go to Vidura's house. He didn't go to Duryodhan's palace, where there was all the arrangement. Duryodhan arranged a big feast. He arranged beautiful girls to dance and to give pleasure to Krishna. But Krishna never cared about Duryodhan, right? And when in Vidura's palace there was hardly anything, or his wife actually offered banana peels instead of banana because of ecstasy, still Krishna was happy to accept that banana peel. So this is the kind of intimate relation Mahatma Vidura had to Lord Sri Krishna. And later we can see, yesterday we heard the pastime of Vidura, how Vidura is an incarnation of Dharmaraj, Yamaraj. And it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the same chapter that actually Yamaraj was looking for an opportunity, because he is a pure devotee, he is a Vaishnava, and he was looking for an opportunity to preach and to hear and tell some Krishna Katha. So think about the position of Yamaraj. He had hardly any opportunity to speak about Krishna, and he had no opportunity to preach at all. The reason was he was constantly dealing with sinful personalities. Who wants to go to Yamaraj? Who are the customers of Yamaraj? All sinful persons. And he had to just punish them. So Yamaraj was thinking, oh, I am a Vaishnava, I want to hear about Krishna, I want to speak about Krishna, I want to preach. So when Yamaraj got cursed by Mantuka Muni, he actually took it as an opportunity, he took it as a blessing. And he came as a son of Shudrani. So he came as Mahatma Vidura. Where he took the right opportunity to associate with Maitreya Muni, he took the opportunity to associate with Uddhava, he took the opportunity to associate with Pandavas, and he preached his dear elder brother who was spiritually and materially blind, Dhritarashtra. So we can see the whole series of happenings, how Vidura took the opportunity to hear and tell Krishna Katha. So when Vidura arrived in the palace, Pandavas were jubilant because they can again speak about Krishna and they can hear about Krishna's pastimes from Mahatma Vidura. And further it is mentioned that they exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. So here we have to understand a very important point, that is the dealings among Vaishnavas, the etiquette of Vaishnavas. So one could ask, why this kind of etiquettes are there among Vaishnavas? So according to great acharyas, it is mentioned, the devotees are like jewels. They are valuable. But when these jewels are embedded to nice golden case, and this golden case is compared to the etiquettes. So Vaishnava etiquettes are compared to the golden ornaments of devotees. So one has to have this kind of etiquettes. And what is the essential principle behind this Vaishnava etiquettes? That is the same principle as our sadhana bhakti. The essential element, the essential principle behind sadhana bhakti is always remember Krishna, never forget him. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu, vismartavyo na jatuchit. So the same principle is being used even in the case of Vaishnava etiquette. So all the etiquettes of Vaishnavas are actually meant to remember Krishna. So that is the principle behind the all activities. Now here we can see they exchange the embraces, and then further we can say they gave nice prasadam to Vidura, and he took enough rest. So we can see the whole series of warm welcome that was given to Vidura. So here we have to look into a few important points regarding exchanges among Vaishnavas, in which it is mentioned there are six activities that would cause fall down of a devotee. We are devotees, but there are six activities. Okay, of course we have the whole 10 offenses. So this particular thing is an elaboration of one of the offenses. So extension of one of the offenses against the holy name. And these are six in number. So I'll explain these six offenses to Vaishnavas. So we have to understand very carefully so that we don't commit these offenses. First one, that is very, very serious. So that is, it's mentioned, to kill a Vaishnava. So I'm sure we won't get into that kind of serious offenses. But Shastra says, as it is given in Padma Puran, we have to understand. So that is the supremest offense, you know, that is killing a Vaishnava. Second one is blaspheming a Vaishnava. Blaspheming a Vaishnava. As you know, we may not blaspheme on the face, we could. But if someone is away, behind their back there are chances of blaspheming a Vaishnava. And that comes quite naturally because we are conditioned by nature and we have a tendency to find fault and then blaspheme. So this is the second very critical offense which can destroy our devotion. Third one is feels malice toward him. That is a feeling. So we have to understand this is not so gross as verbally speaking, but it is even thinking bad about a Vaishnava. That is also serious offense and that can also destroy our devotion. So it is considered one of the serious offense against Vaishnavas. So often it is mentioned that in Kali Yuga most of the activities in the mind are neglected. So those kind of offenses are not taken seriously because our minds are very unsteady. So when it comes to this offense, one has to understand why it is mentioned. The bad thoughts about devotees, it can come into action. It can come into words and it can come into action. Because our actions and words are first subtle and then gross. So if such kind of thoughts are present, our practical solution is that one should cut that straight away and think something about Krishna, think about some good qualities of such devotees. One should keep thinking and enjoy those kind of thoughts. So we have a tendency to enjoy those kind of thoughts. So one should rather cut that, even if such thoughts come to our mind. So that is our sadhana, that is our practice. Fourth one is, does not properly greet him upon seeing him. Greeting a Vaishnava. So it is mentioned, especially if someone meets a devotee after a long time, we should actually pay obeisances. We should, we have to pray the whole prayer and then do the obeisances. In that way we should greet a devotee. So this is the proper etiquette in greeting a devotee. Especially we do greet full obeisances at least when we meet after a long time. You know, when we get into shortcut for many things. In Australia, you know, in Australian slang, many things are abbreviations. Anything, you know, we speak about everything, uni, anything you pick, you know, small words. So some devotees, they were speaking to each other in a vanchas prabhu after a long time, in a vanchas. So that is the short form of the whole vanchakalpadaryabhisa. So I was hearing a lecture from him before the Bhakti Vidya Purnamara. She was telling, you know, it's not vanchas, you know. This is, you know, don't cut short even this, you know. You should pray the whole prayers. Give the whole, you know, just like we do after the morning offenses. We pray, pay full obeisances to all the devotees. In the same way, give the full obeisances, not just cut short, you know, just vanchas. So we have to be careful, okay, because these are indicative of our internal mood. The external actions are indicative of our external actions are indicative of our internal mood. So if you don't have the right mood, then we try to cut short all this kind of thing. So we have to be a bit careful about this. So that is, here we can see wonderful exchange between Pandavas and Vidura. So they are teaching how to offer respect to such an elevated devotee. Next one is becoming angry. Okay, there is anger in two ways. One is when we get frustrated, we become angry. So that is what is mentioned here. And devotees show anger to correct someone. And sometimes anger is required. So that is accepted. But generally that's not the reason for us getting angry. Generally we get angry naturally. And that is because we get frustrated due to one or the other reason. So one should avoid that also. And the final point, it is, again, it's quite subtle, but we can see even in our daily life, that is, does not feel joy upon seeing a devotee. a devotee is coming, then coming each other, just turn the head to the other side, or just I don't want to see, not feeling happy at all seeing a devotee. It is considered, it is also an offense. So when we see a devotee, still we have to feel happy. Because they are connected to Krishna. Here we can see they are feeling so much of happiness seeing such an elevated devotee. So these are mentioned, these are the six offenses to Vaishnavas which we have to avoid to increase. These actually fall under the one primary offense that we chant during our morning program. We say, blaspheming the devotees who have dedicated their life for propagating the holy names of the Lord. So this is an extension of that. So we can see in different forms how these offenses manifest. So we have to avoid this. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, it is mentioned, a person who does not promptly leave that place where blasphemy of Bhagavan or his dedicated devotees, the Vaishnavas, is perpetrated, becomes bereft of all his previously accumulated spiritual merit, Sukriti, and meets with degradation. So this is the punishment for that. So we have to be mindful about this. And I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Yes, Prabhupada.
Well, listening to Prabhupada's lecture yesterday, Prabhupada is saying that whether it's Krishna or Rama or Vishnu, it's always the same. Whether it's Sitaram or But Prabhupada was mentioning yesterday's class that the result that you get, the destination is the same. It's all the same, you were saying. So how can we understand this in relation to this class?
Okay. Point number one, all the expansions of Krishna as Vishnu Tattva, they are Krishna himself in that sense. Everyone is Krishna. However, there is difference. So our philosophy is about Achintya, Bheda and Abheda. So there is simultaneously one and different. So all expansions of Krishna, or not Vibhinnamsha, not separated expansions, but all direct expansions of Krishna are Krishna. We accept them as Lord, as Supreme Lord. However, the difference is Krishna is the origin of all those expansions. So Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And the example can be given of a moon. So Srimad Bhagavatam also, with regard to Krishna's appearance, it is mentioned, Prachyam Divi Dishi Indu Iva Pushkala. Prachyam Dishi means in the eastern direction, Indu Iva Pushkala. Indu means the moon. Pushkala means full moon. So Krishna is compared to full moon. Whereas his expansions in the Vishnu Tattva form, they are not full moon. So they are different phases of the moon. So they are also moon, but they are only manifesting certain qualities of Krishna. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, he is Purnatama, especially in Vrindavan, he is complete. So he is manifesting all the qualities to the fullest degree. Whereas his expansions, they have the qualities, but they don't manifest. Because for the different reasons, for exchanges of rasa, they cannot manifest all the qualities, whereas Krishna can. So they are one, at the same time they are different. Now second point, regarding chanting different names, say yes, Hare Krishna, which is Radha Krishna, Sita Ram or Lakshmi Narayan, they are same according to the same principle, because they are Krishna along with the consorts. Correct? So Krishna's expansions, their Shakti expansions, is Srimati Radharani, and for Lord Ram, Sita Devi, and for Vishnu Narayan, Lakshmi Devi. So they are same in that sense, that is the Lord along with his wife. So that is fine. At the same time, so now the question is, the destinations are the same. The destinations are the same in the sense, destinations are all spiritual planets. In that sense, okay, the destinations are the same. Now, okay, destinations are not the same also. They are different as well. That is the Abheda path. It's different. If you chant Sitaram, what is your destination generally? Ayodhya. It's also a spiritual world. And if you chant names of Narayan, where you go? Vaikuntha Dham. And if you chant Hare Krishna, one can go to Golok Vrindavan. So, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is known as Madhurya Nam. It's a Madhurya Nam. It is very, very special. Because this Hare Krishna Mahamantra can award love of Godhead in its highest manifestation, which is present in Golok Vrindavan. So that is the Madhurya Nam. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra is special. So Srila Prabhupada, even though he said everything is the same, still he emphasized chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, right? And he emphasized worshipping Radha and Krishna because of the same reason. Because yes, the destinations are the same, in the sense everything is spiritual, but are different, and of which the highest is Golok Vrindavan and the highest is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Is that clear? So we had to understand the oneness and the difference. So our philosophy is about oneness and difference. I think yesterday was the whole pastime very elaborately described, the curse of Yamaraj by Mantu Gopani. In very briefly, some thieves took shelter of Mantu Gopani's ashram, and the soldiers of the king came and they arrested the thieves as well as Mantu Gopani. And he was about to be punished by piercing the whole body through a lance. So it was a torturous experience. He didn't go through, but even thinking about that was quite torturous. So Mantu Gopani went to Yamaraj and asked why I was not punished, but I was about to be punished in this way. So why? I haven't done anything wrong in this life. So Yamaraj said, look, when you were a kid, you actually pierced the body of an ant. So as a punishment to that, you were about to be awarded this punishment. So Mantu Gopani said, no, it's not possible, because it's not the right thing to do for you, because I was a kid and till 5 years, whatever sin one commits, the parents are responsible. So I'm not actually responsible. And for that sake, he cursed Yamaraj. So they said, okay, you'll get a birth as a Shudra. So Vidura's mother was a Shudrani and the whole pastime. Anything further? Okay.
You mentioned that the heart is very dangerous for a person for dwelling so hard with ill feelings towards another.
Yes.
And then seeing this last time, Abhijura, even though there was so much friction between him and the
The quality Vidura is demonstrating is the quality of compassion. So he has the real compassion for his brother. It's not okay. He has given advice on a material ground, because he is a king and Vidura used to act as an advisor, so he has given many advices, but he never stopped his advice on the material ground. Rather, he gave spiritual instructions. So he wanted to enlighten his brother, and because of that, he could actually speak, even though his son, Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhan, he offended him in a very bad way. Still, he tolerated, he left because he understood the higher plan, and then he came back out of compassion only. And the reason for such compassion and why Vidura didn't hurt with the whole situation, the reason is a devotee is satisfied within. So this is a very interesting thing if you think about. If one is quite agitated already, agitation is primarily, agitation means agitation within. So if one is agitated, any small disturbances that can come externally agitates him more, right? So on the other side, if there is no agitation, if one is actually peaceful, then the external disturbance cannot agitate so much that person. Now think about Vidura, who is a pure devotee. He's a pure devotee. He is constantly doing devotional service externally and internally. He is always meditating upon Krishna. So he is always in ecstasy. So the such kind of external situations will be just insignificant. It's nothing. So just like we can hear the prayer of Kunti Devi, she says, Vipata Santata Chatvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavatav Darshanam Yasyad Abhubhanarbhava Darshanam. So she is asking for calamities. So calamities are difficult to deal with, but the association of Krishna in the form of thought is so enlivening her that she doesn't care about the material calamities. So in one sense, the material calamities for her are just like dreams that is mentioned in the purport. It's not real for her, it's just an illusion. She doesn't care about that. In the same way, for Vidura, even though there could be some friction in the family, these things are just, he's aloof from that. He's distasteful for such kind of thing. He doesn't have any taste for that. So he's not affected by these things at all. And on top of that, when he has the compassion, so a combination of these two, he can actually effectively preach. So he's not affected by the situation, and he has the nature to give Krishna consciousness. So since he has these two, he's able to preach very effectively, and we can see the result, how Dhritarashtra's mind got transformed and he left immediately. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.